Welcome to a Midweek Wednesday right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 16th day of June 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to a beauty morning and a beauty day. A little actually on the cool side right now. A little different than the last few days. 11 degrees as you start out, but we'll get to a high of 22 later with nothing but sunshine all day today. Same deal tomorrow. A little bit warmer tomorrow. Sunny and 26. Looks like we're back into some showers Friday, Saturday, and then back into sunshine and a bit warmer weather by Sunday. But a beauty day today. Enjoy it. Sunshine 22. Right now, as we said, 11 degrees. As we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Outstanding, Jer. Drove in this morning there, at least when I got up, had the doors and windows open, threw on the old sweatshirt. As you said, a little on the chilly side. Cruised in nicely. Gorgeous morning. And as I did my little turn to come through whatever area near Immaculata High School, I see an animal from a distance. Eyesight not being the best.
Bear?
And Definitely. I'm just kind of looking and I'm seeing it getting across the road. I'm like, hey,
moose.
Gonna slow down. Gonna slow down here. Well, I'd identify that pretty quickly.
Cat.
My first skunk I've seen of the year. Old skunky, old Pepe Le Pew, just slowly going across the road and working its way down. So can't say as exciting as a moose, a deer, or a bear, but haven't seen skunks in a while. Usually kind of run into the old groundhogs or the squirrels. So pretty exciting this morning, to be quite honest with you.
Excited to see a skunk. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, so it's mine.
Small things in life,
exactly,
really.
Exactly, yes, exactly. Yes, how was your morning?
My morning has been fine for the,
did you see a skunk?
45 minutes since you've been up, yeah, an hour and a half, sorry.
No, yeah. No skunk, no, nothing exciting, no, in my world, all good. Yeah, so there we go.
It is crispy out there, though, eh?
It was.
In a nice way.
Yeah, it was.
It's beautiful.
It was just kind of surprising. Just usually when I arrive home, I have the air conditioning on in my car. So when I get in the car, the air conditioning comes on.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Ooh, it's a little chilly for that. Thank you very much. So there we go. Yeah. A happy birthday, by the way, to Phil Mickelson. I got a hitting bombs.
Hitting bombs.
At the age of 51, of course, set for the U.S. Open, which kicks off tomorrow near his hometown of San Diego, California. And again, a reminder for you to get your picks in. Final day. Well, actually, you got 24 hours to get your picks in because we'll close it off tomorrow morning. And then, yeah, we'll have everything locked in for the U.S. Open Golf Tournament, which will begin tomorrow. Wall-to-wall coverage on TSN. I think it starts at, it's out in San Diego, so 9:45 Eastern, 6:45 out there. And I think it runs for like 12 consecutive hours or something. So all day. And we'll have Bob Weeks, TSN golf analyst, on the show tomorrow. Hammer, I believe that he is out at the tournament.
He is. I saw him on SportsCenter.
So he's going to be, when he's on with us tomorrow at 9 our time, that'll be like 6 a.m.
Yeah. Well, the first group out is 6:45, so he's got to be up watching, ready to go, getting the lay of the land.
I don't think you need to watch every every shot of every round when you're covering it for SportsCenter.
If you're there and you haven't been out to a lot of live sporting events, you want to see the first tee every single
point.
Well, you can't because they're teeing off at first and the 10th.
And only being 3 hours, JR, but even going to the West Coast, and I think even more in summertime, pretty good chance you're waking up anyway. And depending, I guess, whether it be work or anything at home, whenever I was on the West Coast, you're basically, hey, the time 9 o'clock comes around, the office is calling. So, pretty good chance you're up, you're watching. I was surprised. Is that pretty standard, JR, a 6:45 tee off time for the U.S. Open?
Well, they have 156 players to get through.
Yeah, that's what Hammer was saying. So,
Two rounds are always super busy, and the weather typically in Southern California is nice, but you can't take any chances, right? Pushing things as late into a window as you can in case you get some weather concerns. So that'll be tomorrow. Bob Weeks will join us in the show, and again, go to our website tsn1200.ca, click on the green banner that says Golf Pool, and enter. All brought to you by Royal LePage Team Realty. Our grand prize is a your very own Google Nest Home, and we'll award that after everything is cinched up on Sunday. Also celebrating a birthday today, black cars look better in the shade.
Oh, a little Gino Vanelli?
Gino Vanelli. Gino Vanelli is 69 years old today, and I am guessing that carpet that he had for on his chest is still as good today.
Did he have that going?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
always like to unbutton the shirt down to just above the navel.
Oh, okay.
Ladies, look what I got going on here.
Oh, is he kind of like the neighbor in Three's Company coming over?
Larry?
Larry had a bit of chest hair going, didn't he?
Oh,
well, I don't
that
remember
was the
that.
Look. That was the look back then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's not really the look any longer, huh?
No.
No.
In fact, it's almost gone the other way, whereas, you know, a lot of guys kind of get rid of everything.
Yeah, I actually have that on my playlist. It's funny you say that. I have that on my playlist because that's a very Canadiana song. You could never find that in the United States. And am I right to say he's a one-hit wonder, or did he have
a
bit
of
a career?
Some others. He had some other hits, I would think. Okay. Well, this is where Canadian content really helps you out, you know, because, you know, Canadian radio stations are... have to, you know, play 35% of their
That's
music
true.
Is Canadian, yeah, so we tend to, you know, play some artists a lot, like Gino Finelli.
Yeah, no, I remember that song, and it's funny, Little Times would have been around 1985. Just remember I was finishing up midget hockey going off to the OHL. That was a very popular song. And also an update, JR, I know yesterday got your second dose there and just feeling a little bit. Are you 100% here today?
All good.
Okay.
All good, yeah.
Sore arm at all? Fever, nothing?
Wing is better. Okay, fever's low fever. Fever's gone, the little aches and pains. Yeah, it was, it was yesterday went on, felt a little bit better by last night, almost there, and then woke up this morning and 100%.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
And
so
you're safe.
Good.
You can go do anything. You're ready to travel the world.
Well, don't you have to wait that 2 weeks? Isn't there like a couple of weeks after you
Why
initially
is always
get the
this
shot?
Why are we always waiting for something else? He's good to go. He's got both of them. He's ready to rock and roll. Let's get at her. Book some travel.
Start rolling through the malls maskless. Look at me, folks. No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
Well, I don't even know if are the malls even open yet?
Good question.
Yeah, no, a lot of the outlet.
Not essential?
I think the store, I know Tanger outlet and everything else, whatever is open.
Yeah, I think all the stores are open.
Oh, okay. I don't see JR as a mall cruiser.
Never.
Especially in
Not
June.
Not hitting the food.
I don't think in June that he's heading out. Unless there's been funds allocated on the side for the golf shop for his own Father's Day gift.
Zowie.
Hey, his own Father's Day gift. Maybe a new set of clubs.
Here's my Father's Day gift from my family. Yeah. Don't make me go to the mall. Shopping is not me. Yeah. No, not whatsoever.
Is it a gift that you get 36 holes in, or like what do you? How do you work that?
Because
I would think at this stage in life would be more, hey, here's what I kind of want. This is what would really feel good for me versus pretending to do anything else.
Father's Day weekend always. And listen, I preface my remarks by saying I love my in-laws.
You're great, going somewhere?
No, great people. Honestly,
recital time.
Yeah, great people.
Is it dinner time almost?
They
ready to go
are.
Visit
they are both my wife's parents, both fully vaxxed.
Okay. Okay.
And, we have not seen them very much over the past 15 months or so. My wife has made trips there from time to time, talked to them outside, et cetera.
Yeah.
It is my mother-in-law's birthday, always around Father's Day. So there's always a Sunday meal. So there may be something happening like a barbecue outside or something.
Yeah.
I believe on Sunday, which of course would be the final round of the U.S. Open.
Does that cut into like JR celebrating JR?
Exactly. Like, maybe quite.
Like that's a bit.
As it should be, my mother-in-law's birthday celebration and not Father's Day.
Have you not been excused from past celebrations before?
Not this one. It's a big one. You know,
well,
your mother-in-law
has
a birthday.
I'm just saying past ones. Like, a 66, you know, not a 0 or a 5.
No. Oh, no.
You've gone to the mall?
The birthday is always a big one.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until she gets to a hundo hammer, then right now it really doesn't matter.
There is some occasion where JR stays home when the rest of the family goes to the in-laws.
Well, that was when Tiger was relevant. Hey, every man stays home when Tiger was relevant. Now it's like, hey, Ricky Fowler's not even playing, but anybody now, it doesn't resonate quite as well, where a lot of people had to buy time during Tiger Woods' career, or a main part of his career.
True enough.
And yes, my mother-in-law's birthday is always a big one. My attendance somewhat necessary.
Yeah.
There are others that where it's just dropping by.
Yeah.
That maybe if I've got something else to do, I can excuse myself from time to time. Although as I said, I like to go. They're very nice people.
Yeah, good.
They're good people.
You say that on the radio.
No, they're good people. I say that
everywhere. Oh, they're lovely people.
You don't even know the people.
Come on, all in-laws are great people.
Are they?
Mine are fantastic. I love seeing them.
Simmer, how are your ex-in-laws?
No, they were very nice, actually. I think the historic part is probably the mother-in-law, but no, was very fortunate. Can blame a lot of things on the failure of my marriage, but I can't put the in-laws on that list, so no,
darn
they're
it.
Very nice people.
Always the easiest out.
You could have something, and everybody intertwines a little different when it comes to families. There's no doubt about that.
All right.
Will you watch a lot of the coverage here?
Like
power ranking between this Masters... British Open and PGA, is this number two behind the Masters?
Of tournaments to watch.
Yeah.
British Open for me is number two.
Am I right in saying the Masters is number one for you for sure?
I would say only because of the time of year.
Okay.
I enjoy all of them. Like, yeah, I don't say, yeah, no, oh, I watch that's this true. One and won't yeah. watch the other.
You have to have favorites, yeah. though.
Yeah. Well, the Masters is coming out of winter, so I think we all feel good watching that, right?
And the Masters is always held at the same place. It kind of gives you that sense of continuity, whereas all the other ones, all the other majors, are all held at different courses, but it's at the same time of year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really rank one ahead of another. I enjoy them all.
Strong opinions.
Enjoy them. No.
If you could only watch one for the rest of your
life.
My
strong opinion is I don't care which one. Yeah, I like them all.
You could only watch one the rest of your life.
No, my strong opinion is stronger than that.
I'm just asking a question.
No,
my
strong opinion is the strongest. Okay?
I need a sidebar.
No, there's no sidebar. There's no nothing. My opinion is I enjoy all of them. And that's not backing out, sitting on the fence.
You're not
going
to hurt the other tournament's feelings. They're not going to care. They're not going to cry. You can pick one major, one golf major.
Okay, I'll watch the Masters.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I miss the British Open now that you say that, Hammer, because I also miss the announcer who loves the North American golfers coming over and just getting dusted on the course.
Yes.
Like, you can just hear this.
Peter Alice.
Yeah, he just loves it, especially when the weather kicks up.
Gracious.
Yeah, especially loves it when the Americans fail.
Oh,
But as a good Englishman, never minds it when you get a good French meltdown like Jan van de Velde. That guy was in his glory as that all unfolded back in 1999 or whatever year it was. All right, 6:20. We'll take a break. When do we come back? We'll get into the hockey story from last night as the Lightning have even their series with the Islanders. Meanwhile, it's game two for Montreal and Vegas tonight. NBA playoffs. What a night for Kevin Durant last night. Ah, my goodness. That was amazing to watch. So we'll chat about that, and we'll get into some baseball. The Blue Jay bullpen continues to be a story as it melts down again in yet another loss. And we'll get into some soccer talk as well. Huge win for Canada last night over Haiti, and they are into the final round of World Cup qualifying for the first time in almost a quarter of a century. And we'll get you caught up on Euro as well, as we had our first games in the group of death yesterday. And all teams have now played one game at Euro 2020. As we move on to game number two starting today, including Italy-Switzerland, which we'll have for you here on TSN 1200 at 3 o'clock. So we got lots to get to. Our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. We will speak with Pierre McGuire live from Vegas to set up game two tonight. And Red Blacks head coach Paul LaPolice. He's got a team, and now he's got a time as the schedule has come out for the Red Blacks. So we'll talk to the Red Blacks head coach coming up after 9 o'clock. So a busy show ahead. We're glad you're with us here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Novinelli, 69 today. Epic, epic chest hair, man. Like, maybe the best ever. If you've got some other nominations, let us know at 1200. Oh, I just, you know, just kind of thinking back in time. There have probably been others, absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably some Hollywood actors back in the day. And again, it's no longer the thing that it used to be, but there was a time.
Oh.
Probably 80s, in which that was the thing, man.
Can't remember if Denny Terrio had the chest hair, but somebody, I think, in Saturday Night Fever, Jr. And when I hear that music, few bands or few singers that come to mind. One would be Bryan Adams, Corey Hart. And then the other one that was real big that same 84, 85 would have been Tears for Fears. Hey?
Mm.
I don't think we get
a shout out.
Just
That
was right around the time that Boy George and what was the band called again? Was very popular and was kind of cutting edge at the time as well. So bringing back some memories of the mid 80s.
There you go. By the way, several texts have come in. Apparently the malls are not open.
Well, okay.
Okay. Indoor malls. You can't go indoors. Well, you can still obviously shop there with the curbside pickup. But
No, that's what I thought. Okay. Because I was mentioned. No, I'm not a shopper, but just Mirrod said that hey, no, that's not open. Maybe that's why there was a thousand person lineup at Under Armour at Tanger the other day when I went.
Right.
Because
that's all outdoors.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, 6:28. Let's get to last night's game. Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Islanders. Of course, New York went into Tampa and won game one on Sunday by a score of 2-1. So the Lightning... I don't want to say it was a must win, but listen, you don't want to go on the road having lost the first two games at home, especially going to a place like Long Island. So this was a big game for them, and this was a big goal.
Savard to the right point. He'll sweep it in and behind the net. Quick centering pass and score! Braden Point put it off the back bar. It came right out, but it beat Varlamov. The quick centering pass from behind the net from Kucherov.
and Braden Point, his 10th of the playoffs. It's 1-0 Lightning.
There you go. That would be one of three assists on the night from Nikita Kucherov. And for Braden Point, yes, 10 goals in the playoffs.
Wow.
And five goals or five games straight with a goal. He is just money right now. And again, there's nothing about Braden Point you look at and you go, this is like superstar skill.
Yeah,
it's just the all-round package. And the fact that he is just he's a very competitive player.
Yeah, very much.
About that.
No.
And he gets them started on their way to a 4-2 win in game two.
Yeah, no, you're right, Jared. No, you see the skill in the hockey sense. And he had that incredible goal last series when he went forehand or backhand, forehand, back to the backhand, made it look so easy. And that goal last night, and I don't think very often as a goaltender, like you almost always know, Jared, when a goal went in. That went under the arm of Varlamov. It almost looked like the magic bullet on JFK. It went up and over and out, back out. You're like, okay, did he actually score that thing? And then also for Kucherov, three assists, and I think he's figuring out the key to winning the Conn Smythe Trophy, JR. Don't play in the regular season. Stay fresh for the playoffs. He's leading the playoffs in scoring. So those two guys are incredible. And who would have thunk 3 or 4 years ago that if I said the top player or top centerman on the Tampa Bay Lightning would be Point versus Stamkos? You don't even hear Steven Stamkos' name mentioned anymore. I mean, these two guys have gone to a completely different level. Then you'd rank probably Hedman, Vasilevsky, and I guess you could argue that Stamkos might be their fifth best player. Unbelievable depth.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't even know if he's that.
Yeah.
You know,
in
terms of paycheck, absolutely. But you don't hear Steven Stamkos' name mentioned, you know, if you just watch a game.
Yeah.
Last night he came in, had a nice chance off the right side. He still got an elite shot and on the offside on the power play, is still very much a threat. But the rest of it was Steven Stamkos. And again, I'm not saying he's an average player.
No.
But he is far down the list of, I'll say this way, he's far down the list of Tampa Bay Lightning players that I would worry about.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you get to the pace of the playoffs. He's not an overly physical player. And, I guess it also just speaks to the depth that they end up having. And those guys are fun to watch. And between Kucherov and Point, not the biggest guys in the world. But, man, oh, man, can they maneuver? And everything they do, it is a very high pace.
All right. The game, by the way, was 1-1 in the second period when Andre Palat scored the go-ahead goal in what would eventually, it's not the game winner, but it put Tampa ahead to stay. So a huge goal. It came with, upon reflection and replay, the fact that Tampa had not one extra player on the ice, but two extra players on the ice. There were seven Lightning players on the ice as Palat scored that goal. Here is a very disappointed Barry Trotz on that.
Obviously, the second goal, that one hurt quite a bit because now you're if they get the third one, there's a little bit more separation. So, and obviously, you guys know there's too many men on the ice there. They had seven guys. So, disappointed at that.
Again, I'll go back to the fact, and I've said this a million times, if you're going to have replay in your sport, okay, and you're going to have coaches' challenges in your sport, why can't you challenge everything?
Yeah.
Why is it defined to whether a play was offside or not? What is the difference between Tampa Bay scoring a goal on a questionable offside and you being allowed to challenge that, or them scoring a goal when there's seven players on the ice?
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference?
Yeah, no.
What is the difference?
Well, there isn't. Now, what's the difference in the game? First of all, if there's replay, there's not a chance that Braden Point ever gets a penalty for running the goaltender when he gets cross-checked. That was the terrible call.
This was a goal, Simmer.
No.
It was a goal that put Tampa Bay ahead
of stick. Oh, I understand. But
a penalty versus a goal are two different things.
Yeah,
to me.
But to me, there's no effect on the play for the goal.
And that's also a black and white. That's a shades of gray call to me. Yeah, I understand it looks 95% like that's a bad call.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not 100%.
No. And it almost
and that goal last night should not have counted. There were too many players on this.
Yeah. No. For sure. But as far as the play itself, like I said, I don't look at that. Hey, for the New York Islanders to complain, you ask why did the officials not get that? That's the question I ask. And again, on the one where Point goes into the goaltender, couple things: Varlamov suddenly being pulled out. out. But the fact that they called that a cross check was just a terrible, terrible call that absolutely should be reviewed. You turn around, the Islanders end up scoring on the power play on that. And as far as the too many men on the ice, yeah, and in the spirit of the rule, but in my estimation, had no effect on the goal whatsoever. They're already into the zone. A lot of whining by the New York Islanders at the end of the day. But as I said, the referee should catch it. But as I said, they're already into the zone. It had no effect on the play whatsoever.
Well, no, Palat is not a player that comes off the bench and scores a goal. You're right in that. But this is not one where the two extra guys are within a foot of the board.
Oh, for sure.
This is clearly and I guess I would need to see it from further back to see when Palat actually came onto the ice.
Yeah,
but again, how the players all interact, who comes off the ice, who doesn't. That does play a role in how it eventually plays itself out, where he finds his spot on the ice. That's all I'm saying. And I didn't see a clear enough replay for that. I guess my overall point in this is, if you have challenges, if you allow challenges and replay in your sport, coaches' challenges, you should be able to challenge anything.
Yeah, no, again, no disagreement, Jared. And as I said, the one that looked bad was the referee standing right there when points go into the net. You can't get that one wrong in a playoff game. And to too many men on the ice, the reason we have four officials, the linesman's job is to make sure you're counting this, JR. By the time the puck goes into the zone, the one linesman has decided that, hey, the play is not offside. The other linesman's job is always to count and to watch the change. And I think the National Hockey, and this goes back to Scotty Bowman in Detroit, where he started the whole thing of guys coming in one door, going out the other. They need to, at some point, whether you don't want contact around the bench or you have basically the zone to end up making a change, they're going to have to almost create a box or something to say, okay, when you're in the box here, whatever happens, you can make a change, because it is too much of a gray area. Because in the spirit of the rule, the Tampa Bay defenders are going to the bench. They're not going to the bench and come back into the play. But like you said, it's way early that the guys are coming off the bench. There's no doubt about that.
All right. That ends up being I'll say one other thing about the point penalty call. And again, it's 95% that it was on the Islanders defenseman, whoever it was. Yeah. My take on that is it shouldn't have been a penalty. I understand, that's the issue I have with it, is that he ended up with a penalty when it was.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that's what I meant. Yeah, no. He should never. And also, just for the, I'm assuming this fella's neutral. Boy, oh boy, we've seen some goaltenders get run in the playoffs or get hit. For all of a sudden, Varlamov is out of the game, did return for the second period. When this rule was kind of instituted, that's what we talked about.
Imagine, kind of concussion
spotter. Yeah, imagine in a playoff game, all of a sudden a guy's pulled out. You know, Varlamov said he's fine. And hey, it was a hell of a collision. Now, the way he reacted as well, I will say, if I'm the spotter, I'm kind of thinking, jeepers, the fella's laying on the ice, rolling around, holding his head in the soccer style. I probably should end up doing something. But
You didn't agree with him getting pulled? Like, if you have a concussion spotter, that is 100% the situation. If I'm sitting in the stands watching that I want that guy pulled.
Well, exactly.
If you have that rule, he's got to go out.
That's what I'm saying. But he was saying he was fine. Don't roll around the ice holding your head and everything, trying to. If
you can't leave it in the hands of the player. That's why it's a neutral observer in the stands that makes the determination. It's not the player.
Exactly. But to my point is that I'm feeling like he's playing that to get the call, then realizes after the fact, oh, now I'm fine. Now I'm going to end up getting pulled out of the hockey game. That's all. He shouldn't have been rolling around. But under the circumstance, if I'm the spotter, oh, for sure I pull.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't really notice him really trying to play that one up.
Well, he was on the ground and
he
was holding his head. And you said if you're the spotter. No, my point is after the game, he said he was fine. Well, if you're fine, then.
Well, fine. Yeah, it looked to me like he spent about 30 seconds kind of clearing his head or whatever. You could see him shake his head a couple of times and the trainer's talking to him.
Yeah.
And at that point, he seems to be fine.
Yeah.
So I get why he says he's fine, and I 100% understand why the concussion spotter, whose job is to be neutral in this, would look at that and look at a guy who's down on the ice for 30 seconds shaking his head and go, that guy's got to come out of the game. We got to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So I get it from both perspectives. Yeah. So some interesting talking points from that game. Bottom line, though, for the Lightning is a very important win, as they win it 4-2. They've evened the series at a game apiece as it heads now to Long Island for games 3 and 4.
Yeah, and I think, JR, as you point to game 3, crazy crowd, also for a first period that I would say the most spirited of the playoff games I've watched, the amount of penalties, the amount of face washes, all the stuff that happened, it's going to be really interesting to see how the officials call game 3, and if I'm the Tampa Bay Lightning, be ready for a street fight, because I think there's going to be old school Islanders, Stephen Webb hockey, where they're going to come out and get after you. And like I said, I'm really interested to see how the officials are going to handle this, because it was, very inconsistent in the first period, how they were kind of letting it. And by the end of the first period, there was a whole lot of chaos.
Well, and it continued right till the end of the game. I don't know if you ended up staying right up to the end. I mean, the game ended with another scrum and face washes and all kinds of shenanigans going on. I'm kind of watching this throughout the game, and I know Tampa Bay won the game. I'm thinking this is not in their best interest. No. I understand that you want to stand up for yourself. I get all that part of it.
Yeah.
But we've got two different kinds of teams here. The Islanders want to make their games into a street fight.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Tampa Bay Lightning's game is built on speed and skill. And yes, you do have to stand up for yourself. But don't get involved in every single one of these. Now, I'm as tough as you are. Look at me. I'm standing up to you. That's not your game. Yeah. If you start playing the Gary Galley's told me this a million times. When you start playing the other team's game, you will lose.
Yeah.
And right now, if I had to, after two games, if I look at this, I would say the Lightning are playing more of the Islanders' game.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're a little more built for it, but there was a reference yesterday to Boston playing Vancouver in 2011 and kind of how that went. I agree with you. And then it's also kind of picking your spots here on every time Leo Komarov or some of those guys step on. Hey, just stay with it verbally. You know, if you have to take the odd face wash or do whatever, you just hope, and this is what I would hope if I'm Tampa, hey, I've got to have some consistency from the referees, and that I think that'll be a huge factor come the start of that game, just because I think it's going to be so emotional, and I think the Islanders are going to be so over the top emotionally and physically that, that'll be a big part of the game.
It's game 3, and that series will go on Long Island coming up tomorrow. It's game 2 tonight in Vegas. Montreal down 1-0 after losing game 1 4-1. One player that they missed was Jeff Petrie. Here's Dominique Ducharme yesterday talking about the possibility of Petrie being back for tonight.
Too early right now to talk about tomorrow's lineup. Guys are going to go on the ice, and Jeff is one of them. And we'll evaluate everyone and see where they're at. And we'll see if we make changes tomorrow.
There you go. Petrie, of course, was injured a few games ago when he got in the last series. As a matter of fact, when he got his two of his fingers, his baby finger and his ring finger, caught in the camera hole. So that would suggest if it's nip and tuck as to whether he plays tonight or not, that would suggest to me, you know, quite obviously he's not 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
And the hand being a huge part of any hockey player, but especially an offensive defenseman. From so many different aspects, both obviously with your hand on the stick and B, when you're trying to defend and the hand is off the stick, all those different aspects, such a huge part of it that if I'm Vegas, I feel like I've got a bit of a wounded wildebeest out there if he does play.
Yeah, no, for sure. Any of the leverage share, whatever hand it is, how do you... I'll say back to the Montreal series, I swore that his hands were broken because he was not shooting the puck. He made so many errant passes in that series, but he still was effective as a big body. He showed some clips of him yesterday in practice. Now, that's not much, but at least as far as passing and a little bit of shooting, I thought looked comfortable enough that I'm going to say the pretty good chance he's in the lineup tonight. Now, once you hop in, how effective? And I think if you're Montreal understanding, certainly don't want a setback, but how can you tape that up? How can you manage it? And will we see him shooting the puck on the power play, or are you just hoping for some good defense and a very, hey, he's a smooth skating guy for a big man?
And I guess the question, I think I know the answer to this, is if Petrie comes in, who comes out of the lineup? I'm guessing it's Romanov in all probability, because Petrie, even if he can play, that hand probably negates his ability to shoot the puck as he normally would be able to do. Yeah. And, you know, the power play, that's his calling card. He's number one power play guy. If he can't play, That's why Gustafson is playing right now. Sure. So I'm assuming Gustafson stays in, even though, in my opinion, he's clearly the, you know, other than what he brings on the power play, he's clearly the sixth best defenseman on that team, even when Romanov is in.
Yeah, very much so. And just a trust factor, whether that's Luke Richardson's decision or whoever, they don't trust Romanov. So with Kulak and Gustafson, do we see them as an actual pairing? Because they've rotated the 5-6 out with other people. But more importantly, I just think against a big, strong Vegas team, having the big four on the back end for Montreal, of Sherratt to Weber to Edmondson to Petrie, is a real key to the series. And when they get in north of 20 minutes, hey, that third pairing really isn't much of a factor.
All right. So that is game two tonight, Montreal in Vegas. 9 o'clock is the face-off again tonight. And that will be heard right here on TSN 1200. One other hockey note. We talked yesterday about a report from Joey McDonald, former ESPN reporter, now writes down in Massachusetts about the Senators not allowing Jack Capuano to interview for the Buffalo Sabres head coaching job. And again, we had nothing, nor would we typically have anything from the Senators confirming the story or not. Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada wrote his 31 Thoughts column yesterday. He also talked about that story and wrote in part. Let's see here. It's first of all, he says the story is true. And says, quote, there are hard feelings about it and it could get messy between Capuano and the Sens. He doesn't back down from a challenge. It is consistent with Ottawa's history, however, he says, which is that the Sens typically have not allowed their current assistants to interview for other jobs. However you feel about that, I guess the one thing you know when you sign up for it as an assistant coach is, okay, this is the way it's been done in the past with this team. So I know that going in. If it's right or it's wrong, or you agree or disagree, as long as things are consistent, I think that's a big, I don't agree with it either. But if you're consistent, at least you know what you're getting into when you're getting into it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Jared, if that was explained. But again, if you'd asked around, I don't know if that's in your contract. I don't know if it's told to you, but you're right, the consistency. And in asking people yesterday, a few things, and this is certainly a club policy since Eugene Melnyk bought the team, and this goes back to Peter Chiarelli's situation and the arbitration of the league and everything else. And then I asked, well, what happened with Tim Murray when he went to Buffalo? And I won't go into complete detail, but different circumstance of that situation and why he ended up being allowed. But beyond that, yeah, that has been the policy, the Ottawa Senators all the way along. So I understand that. I don't, as you said, agree with it. But if that's the way any scout to coach to anybody else manager signs up, understanding, you know what, I'm happy to have a job, happy to have a contract, then yeah, there's no issue there. As you say, that's a consistency of it. It's not normal, as I said yesterday. I can't think of any other team. There is a circumstance, and we talked about DJ Smith yesterday with Toronto. There's other times depending on timing, but generally this early in the summer, if somebody has the opportunity to advance themselves, most teams would let you go.
So when Elliot Friedman writes, this could be messy, I'm assuming he's alluding to the fact that you'll have an unhappy employee. Now, I don't know Jack Capuano. I think he's well thought of. He spent a lot of time in the NHL. I would think that while being disappointed and maybe being very disappointed at not being allowed to interview for a head coaching job, at some point, you know, you're going to make the decision of, okay, I got to put this in the past. I got to put this in my rearview mirror. I'm going into the final year of my contract. You know, does it affect me if nothing changes next offseason and they offer me a chance to re-up with the team as an associate coach? Do I kind of go, well, if I'm not going to be allowed in my, you know, for another head coaching opportunity, maybe I'll take a pass and maybe I'll move on to another organization.
Great point.
That would be the long-term effect. But I can't think, as a true professional, that he's going to, you know, mope and groan about it for an entire hockey season.
No. I think once you come into the hockey realm, you sit down with old Smitty and old Davis Payne, JR, absolutely to that. Now, I guess I point to that, and when Elliot Friedman said that, I'd be curious over the summer how it's handled. You know, does he have an agent? The agent says, boy, oh boy, he'd love to be let out of his contract. He's really not interested in coming back. That's all speculative at this point, but absolutely, by the time you roll in, it's more, hey, I'm coming in, I'm going to do my duty, finish off the year. And there's people that say, well, you know what, next year you can interview for jobs. Hey, some of these situations for a guy like Capuano may never come along again. But like I said, you knew what you signed up for. You're here in Ottawa, and come to work in September. And like I say, by then, I think it's certainly in the rearview mirror for everybody else.
Pierre McGuire told us yesterday he believes the Seattle Kraken are close to naming their new head coach. Simmer would like it to be Rod Brind'Amour, but indications are that he is going to remain in Carolina, but nothing official. We continue to wait on that. The word out of Seattle yesterday was that Gerard Gallant, they were very interested, but he didn't want to coach another expansion team. And, of course, he's now landed with the Rangers. Rick Tocchet may not be a fit because he's not necessarily the most analytically inclined coach, which is what Seattle is very heavily into. And the story I read yesterday quite simply said John Tortorella would be a very good possibility for the Seattle Kraken as their first head coach.
Yeah, and interesting. And also from a salary standpoint, I see where Gallant, I think, got a four-year deal, Jared, about $3.5 million. So I think scaling down a tad from the five-times-five that Barry Trotz kind of set as a standard. So I think kind of looking at coaching salaries for the upper echelon. And I think if I'm Rod Brind'Amour, as much as I love Carolina, that rumor of $1.8 million, I know he loves it, as I said, but got to think you'd have to beef that up a little bit, that he'd be pretty close to Gerard Gallant should he re-sign in Carolina.
All right, we'll keep our eye on all of that. There are, at this point, three coaching openings left in the NHL, Buffalo, Arizona, and, of course, Seattle. All right, 6:48, Pierre McGuire, as mentioned, will join us from Vegas, coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning. When we come back, we'll get into a bit of the soccer story. Big win for Canada last night, featuring one of the worst, absolute worst goals, and we'll only be able to unfortunately give you the audio version, which is actually not bad, but it's one of those you got to see it to believe it kind of goals. So we'll chat about that, the Blue Jay bullpen meltdown again, NBA playoffs, Kevin Durant goes off on the Bucks last night. We'll get into all of it when we come back. It is a Wednesday morning. We're glad you're with us right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 6:55. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. Some texts on the Jack Capuano situation with the Sens. And again, the story now from a couple of different places that the Sens have not allowed him to interview for the Open Sabres head coaching job. Hey, boys, just to play devil's advocate a bit regarding Capuano, it's been reported, I believe, that this is a standard practice by the Sens. If that's the case, surely when an assistant signed their contract, they would be informed about this policy. No. If that's not the case, then I think it's a shady move. But if it is known, this whole story should be moot. That comes from Cork. Someone just says Bush League Sens. Someone else writes he signed his contract. End of story. Another one. Why would future assistant coaches sign with Ottawa? Seems very amateurish. Again. And this one, if Capuano runs the power play, they should have paid for his flight to Buffalo for the interview. That comes from Steve. That's some of the reaction to the story.
Yeah, I think Davis Payne's in charge of the power play. Mr. Capuano in charge of the defense, JR. Now, to the contract, if that's a policy, I would actually put it in the contract. I don't know if that's legal for the National Hockey League, but it should be pointed out. So whether it is or it isn't, I have no idea. As I said, it's not kind of standard practice. Also, speculation yesterday, and people talked about all the different things of, well, you know, if things go south, the DJ Smith, you want somebody on the staff that experience it. It has nothing to do with that, and I don't think ownership or manager going into this year thinking about a replacement for DJ Smith. It's, hey, this is the policy of the Ottawa Senators, and whether old Cappy knew or not, we don't know, but this has been consistent that Ottawa does not allow it. But as I say, I don't think there's other teams in the NHL that adhere to this. And big picture, as I said, it's not great for business.
All right, 6:57. Big soccer game for Canada last night, taking on Haiti. This was the round two of World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF, which is North and Central America and the Caribbean, the area, of course, that Canada plays out of. So this was the second leg of a back-to-back with Haiti. They needed to win to get to the final round of qualifying. They won the first game 1-0. So they were playing the second leg last night. The game was scoreless early in the second half when this happened.
Pierre, giveaway. LaFrance. Two center backs being good tonight for Haiti. Oh, no, look out. What a mistake. Can you believe that happened? Oh, my word. Duverger, Canadian born, doing a solid to his country. The most unlikely of goals you will ever see.
Okay, so I guess we need to kind of paint the picture. We'll tweet it out if you haven't seen it. It's all over SportsCenter as well. So this is the Haitian goaltender, who, by the way, was raised in Montreal and apparently knows a lot of players on the Canadian national team. I think our announcer friend there was alluding to the fact that maybe he did it on purpose. I think he was joking. This is just a simple pass back from the defender to him. There's a Canadian guy that's kind of going in on him, but not really pressing him. And he kind of lets it go through his legs a little bit to kind of go out to the other side. But then as he's going back to grab it, as he's headed toward the goal line, he actually hits it with his other foot as he's trying to kick it and kicks it into his own net. Like, of all the own goals, and we've seen a few of these over the years where there's a pass back to the goalie and sometimes it hops over his foot, right? And this was one where he was just super casualed it. And it ends up being the opening goal on what eventually would be a 3-0 win for Canada and a clincher. But what a, as they say in the soccer business, it is a howler of all howlers.
Yeah, and I think when the flight and the group gets together this morning, you got the flights going back to Haiti. I think if I'm him, I jump on the plane back to Montreal and never seen the Haiti again. The casual play of letting it go through your legs, JR, was almost, as you said, you've seen that, or even where guys have gone to kick it and have missed it, it went in. Like, he retreats and has his second chance.
Yeah, he's still got time.
And he's getting all twisted and turned, and we're going to say bad turf, as you said. The right foot or the toe kicks the ball as he's, or the left foot, sorry, as he's trying to kick it. Next thing you know, it's in. And yeah, that's Canada 3-0 and on to the next one. But that was one of the worst you've ever seen.
So where Canada played the game, and again, because of the border closings and everything, Canada played, this was their home leg, but they were playing it at a field, their home base is somewhere outside of Chicago. I don't know exactly where. As I watched the replay, and I kind of knew what the result would be, I did watch the ball on the pass back, and it is kind of bouncing. I'm thinking the turf at this particular field is not necessarily the highest. It's not Euro level. Like, you watch the ball roll on the field in any of these Euro games. I mean, first of all, who wouldn't kill for a lawn that looked like any of these Euro playing surfaces, right?
Yeah.
But the ball doesn't move.
No.
It's like there's glue on the grass that just kind of holds the ball down there. Yeah. And then you compare, if you watch the replay of that goal last night, just watch the ball as it's going back. It's kind of skittering along. It bounces a little bit. Like, I'm not excusing the play in any way.
No.
He casualed it, and then he still had time to for a second attempt and kicked it into his own net by mistake. Like, it's all of that, but it is also not the greatest field in the turf in the world.
No, but the first one is the miss through the legs, and you got full time to recover. That's the incredible part. Like, my thought then is basically, I'm going sideline. Like, I've whiffed it. Now I'm nervous. I'm not even thinking about trying to make a play on the second attempt. It's like, okay, just kick this thing out of bounds. And he, all of a sudden, doesn't have the composure. And as you said, it's a little torn up on the turf there, but it's just hilarious to watch how, you try to do that yourself 100 times, it wouldn't happen. Okay?
It's when on the second attempt that he plants his left foot to then try to boot it with his right, that he knocks it with his toe. That is,
and he was fully trying to play it, right, guys? On the first, the first attempt was, hey, I've taken my eyes off of the ball. Now it's gone through my legs, but okay, lots of time to recover, and not a chance. And the simple fact that, like, we don't see often, at least I don't know of, JR, that guys actually have a Canadian passport and decide to go play somewhere else. It's usually the reverse. So that's a weird circumstance that he's actually a Canadian.
Yeah. Anyway, all good for Canada we are through to the final round of CONCACAF qualifying for the first time since 1997, believe it or not, 24 years. And so now they're into the final round of qualifying, by the way, involves 8 countries, including the U.S. and Mexico. Top 3 automatically qualify for the World Cup next year in Qatar. So we'll say the U.S. and Mexico are for sures. And then after that, Canada's in the mix for of the remaining 6 teams, one of those, they got to finish at the top of those other 6. So you play each of the 7 other teams home and away. So it's 14 games in total, starts in September. It's one of those things where they go on international breaks because these players are playing all over the world, right?
Yeah.
So they'll play, usually they'll have an international break over a weekend. So, you know, for a player like Alphonso Davies, who's playing over for Bayern Munich in Germany, you fly back in the middle of the week, you play for the national team a couple of games, and then you fly back to Munich. I mean, these guys that play internet, and especially the European play guys that play, you're either playing a Euro, you're either qualifying for Euro 1 year and then playing in it the next year, and then qualifying for a World Cup and then playing in it the following year. Like, it's soccer for the elite level guys. is 11 months a year, every single year. Like, these guys play a ton, and they're flying all over the world. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is, Sharon. I think of, in the case of Alphonso Davies, both in his career earnings, but also the investment so far for Bayern Munich, but should he either re-sign there or be sold, once you buy a player, like, I'm thinking, if I'm Bayern Munich, I'm going to have him on a private plane to go back and play for Canada and back to make sure that he's ready, right? I mean, this is my investment as well. So it's really, as you said, like even Ronaldo playing for Portugal. It's a lot of wear and tear for the clubs that for most take the risk financially.
All right, so Canada again into the final round starts in September. We'll take a break a little past 7 o'clock, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA, run down the scoreboard, including details on the Lightning winning game 2-4-2 over the Islanders to even the series at a game apiece. Montreal and Vegas will play game 2 tonight here on TSN 1200. When we come back after the latest news in sports, we'll get into the rest of the sports story, including Kevin Durant's awesome night last night and Charlie Montoyo. I think he's reaching the end of his rope with either the Blue Jay bullpen or the questions about the Blue Jay bullpen. I'm not quite sure what, but he is getting, he's starting to lose it a little bit. And we'll tell you why when we come back here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.